All right. I love talking to leaders. We hope leaders. And I want to tell you something. I know, you know, we recognize you as a leader when you achieve a certain level in the business. But leadership is a lot more than a pin or achieving a level. It really is. At this particular point here, we hope that you rise to the occasion to become a leader. Because just because you have a pen doesn't mean you're a leader. You know, and I'll be honest with you, in our business, nothing happens until somebody leads. You'll never get to where you want to go if you refuse to step up to the plate and take on the mantle of leadership. It just doesn't happen. And a lot of times we find out the people put themselves in a great position. They have a chance. And very few people ever in life are ever given the chance to truly become leaders, to truly step up to the plate, to truly answer the call of leadership, as some people would call it. And they miss it because, yeah, I remember something I heard years ago that stuck with me when I first. It was something said by Albert Schweitzer. You know, Albert Schweitzer was an incredible man that gave his whole life for other people. I remember Albert Schweitzer said, when you get involved in the lives of people, when you truly get involved in the lives of people for their benefit, life does become more challenging and more difficult. But in the long run, it also becomes much more richer and rewarding than any other life could have ever become. And sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we think when we step up to the plate of leadership, and sometimes leadership means placing yourself aside and putting others first. It means doing more than what's expected. It means setting an example. It means all the right kind of things to become a leader. It means being out in the front. And obviously, whenever you step out in the front, people take shots at you and they talk about you. It means having a little more courage it takes. And sometimes we're not sure if there are a lot of times people have a chance and they're not sure if they want to step up. They're not sure if they want to take on those kinds of responsibilities. I really believe without that, you're never going to achieve the kind of success you dream of in life. Because the people that move on and ultimately really, really become really successful, especially in this business. Because this is a people business. More than anything else, you can think we're an internet business. You can think we're a product business. You can think all that you want. The simple fact, we are a people business. More than anything else in the world, our product is people. Our business is a business of changing and elevating lives. Our business is a business of helping people make their dreams come true. It's not a product business. That just happens to be something that we kind of deal with that kind of gives us a vehicle to make the whole thing come together. Don't get confused. Don't lose sight of what we really are in business. First and foremost, our greatest product is people, and that's changing lives. I guess the hardest part is sometimes we wonder if we have the confidence. We wonder if we have the talent. We wonder if we have the ability to become a leader. I know that's the truth because I questioned that in myself years ago. I didn't know if I had what it took. I didn't know if people would ever follow me. I didn't know. I just wasn't sure. But I remember Dexter said something to him, if you're ever going to find out if you're going to lead, you first of all have to assume that you can lead. First and foremost, you believe that you might have the ability to lead. I guess that's one thing. And I really believe nothing happens till you do step up to the plate and lead. And leadership begins because all of a sudden you start developing an attitude, a yearning to lead, a yearning to make your life mean something, to mean more, to count for something. And I really believe that's the truth. You know, when people say, well, you know, we can talk about the things you need to do, we can talk about the circles and everything, but until you develop the right framework, the right mental attitude, it seems like the things won't come together because people need somebody to follow. The people are always looking for somebody to step up to the plate and lead, to show them the way. A leader not only talks about and not only points the way, but he also shows them the way. And he goes that way himself. And sometimes that's tough. I think the most important thing about leadership, number one, is attitude. Do you have a good attitude? Because you'll never convince me or anybody else you're a great leader until you have a great attitude. Do you have a good positive outlook and a great positive and optimistic attitude about life in the future? I remember years ago I was reading a book and I remember there was a book written by Dennis Waitley. It's called The Seeds of Greatness. He talks about things. He talks about the 10 seeds of greatness and things. And he talks about one of the most important things that a leader must, a person that's really going to lead, got to have an attitude of positive self-expectancy. He expects great things to happen in life. He expects the business to grow. He's optimistic and positive about his future and his life. He's people that are pessimistic, people that are negative, are cynical, never become successful. And he said, that's what you got to realize. There's a seed of positive self-expectancy. Do you expect great things to happen in your life? Do you profess and do you speak great things to happen to your life? That's probably, I also read the book, I can't think of the book, but it's talking about corporate excellence is what the book was about. And they talk about the people that rise up and become the top in the corporate world, become the CEOs and lead the great companies in our land. The first thing, they're positive people. They expect great things to happen in life. They expect great things to happen for their company. And they expect and they believe in their merchandise. They believe in what they do. And they believe in what their company is all about. First of all, they've got to be positive and optimistic about what their company is. In this business, that's the most important thing, I think. You've got to profess that. And we tell people the three laws of leadership. Number one, negative never goes down. You always got to be positive. You always got to be uplifting. I tell people, you know, it's like planting a garden. And you go outside and you dump diesel or kerosene on your plants. And you can't understand. You dump all this negative fluids on your plants. And you expect them to grow. You got to realize in our business, the most important thing your people need from you, they got to see that you have a positive self-expectancy about this life, about this business, that you believe in it, you have a great attitude about it. That's probably the first thing that we look for in attitude, is an attitude, and leader is attitude. Number one, we think the next thing a person, attitude is a man that's got faith, he's got belief, he believes in what he does. He really does. I tell people, I said, it takes a few beliefs. I said, number one, I don't think you're going to go anywhere, number one, unless you believe in yourself. And I think that's probably the greatest disappointment I've ever seen. I tell people all the time, the biggest disappointment is the thing I think that hurts the most is that people they sell this business short. But that's not bad. We understand a lot of people sell this business short. But the greatest disappointment is how many people sell themselves short. They get to the point they believe in the business, but they don't believe in themselves. What a tragedy in life. Well, first of all, we think you got to have belief. A leader's got to believe. He's got to believe in himself. And I know that's a tough thing for a lot of us. It's a hard thing to actually believe that maybe God can bless us, that somehow we have the inner makings and the talent and the ability within us to really succeed. But we'll never know until we try and we give it the best. We never know until we struggle and push ourselves to find out, do we have the capacity? Do we have the ability? And I'm going to tell you the resounding it is yes, you do. But somehow it's not important enough for me to believe that. It's not important enough for me to believe that you have it. Somehow you've got to get to the point that you believe you have the ability to become great in this business. It takes that kind of belief. You got to believe in our industry. That what we do for a business, what our industry is all about is that it's the best thing. It is the right thing. It's the right way to go. You just got to believe in the plan and what we have and how it works. Regardless of what somebody else says, regardless of what if somebody else fails, regardless of what you hear, doesn't change the facts. A leader is a man of faith. He walks on faith. He just believes. Somehow he knows that he knows. Regardless of what somebody else says, he just believes it because he knows based on his experience that it's going to be okay. Number three is a person that makes a commitment to something. I remember years ago there was a man that was an incredible speaker. I liked him a lot. His name was Ty Boyd. Ty Boyd was one of these guys that did a lot of traveling with Zig Ziglar and some of the great speakers. And he used to do some of the great motivational rallies when they get all the great speakers together in America. They used to have these huge rallies, 30,000, 40,000 people at them. And And the charge people come in, and I remember Todd Boyd came in and spoke one time. He talked about commitment. And he says, you know, he says, commitment is a funny thing. But you know, life only really gets to where we want it to be until we're willing to make a commitment. It's when, you know, every time we make a commitment, that's when our life changes and we move on to the next level. I don't care what it is, whether we make a commitment to each other as a couple and we decide to get married and that's a complete commitment to somebody else, that our life really changes. Maybe we decide to make a commitment to raise children and we bring new people into the world. That's another step of commitment. Everything, it seems like it's only when we make commitments do our life really take a step, do we move to a next level and to a new level in life. And I remember Ty Boyd said something that was profound, I thought. He says, until you commit, until you really commit, you're only just taking up space. Ooh, I thought that was kind of strong, but boy, it's true. Otherwise, we're just walking aimlessly through life and wondering and not getting into a direction. You know, isn't that true? It's like that ship that gets set out in the harbor and just seems to sooner or later, without any direction, without a runner, without a captain steering it, it just ends up going around in circles and sooner or later runs out of gas and ends up a derelict on life beach, doesn't it? Isn't that true? Where people don't have a commitment, they don't have a direction in life, and they're not willing to commit to it. You find out that the people that move on, people like Dex and Birdie, they're people that made commitments. They were willing to sell out to what they believed. I remember something Dex says, you know, either you decide in your life to be a holdout or you become sold out. I hope you get sold out to your business. No, you know what? The point is, I always say this. You know, a lot of times we say, I want you to get sold on this business, sold out to this business. No. I don't want you to get sold out on this business. I do not want that. I don't want you to get sold on this business. I want you to get sold on you. I want you to get sold on your future. That's what I want you to get sold on. I was sold out to this business because it was my future. It was the future of me and Sherry. It was the future of my kids. It was the future where we saw our life was going to go. That's why I was sold out to it. I wasn't sold out to the company. I was sold out to what our future was, to what our dreams would become if I would make a complete commitment to it. People say, well, I'm not sure I want to commit to this business. That's not what we're asking you. That's not what it's all about. We want you to commit to your dreams, to your life, to what you want better for your family, to your freedom, to your financial success. That's what's important. So you have to have a leader is first and foremost a person of good attitude. Next, he's a person that has faith, belief. He believes in the business and he stands by his beliefs. He's willing to make a commitment and stand by it. There is no other option. He doesn't give himself an out every time he turns around. Well, we'll try it. Dexter said, when the guy says he's going to try, that's just an excuse to fail. That's all it is. The fourth thing a leader's got to do, he's got to be an example. And that's probably one of the toughest parts about it, is being an example. I remember one thing I heard, I think it was Jerry Meadows was speaking one time, and Jerry says, never, it's one of the golden rules of our business, is never ask somebody else to do something which you're not willing to do first yourself. Let me say that again. A true leader is a person that will never ask somebody else to do something that he's not willing to do first himself. We encourage people to read, but do you read? We encourage people to go out and show the plan. Are you the ones to show the plan? We expect people to make a commitment to come to the functions. You're the first one to make the commitment. You're the first one to get your tickets. I mean, these are little things, but they do make a difference. Are you the example? You wish to God your people would get out and show the plan, but are you the one out showing the plan all the time? Are you the one first and foremost in the front line saying, hey, look, come on, follow me, I'll show you. Because that's what makes a difference. They need an example. Are you the one that comes here? You're the one that here early? Are you the one that's sitting up front, the first one that's there, that's shaking his head, that's in agreement? That does make a difference. You know what? As I go through these things, I know some of you are sitting there and saying, I'm not sure if I want to do that. I understand. I understand that. It's your life. It's your choice. But I hope you understand the reward you get if you do make the choices. And these choices are for you to make, not for anybody else to tell you to do. You got to have the right attitude. You got to have faith and belief. You got to have commitment. You got to be willing to set an example for your people. And then you got to go out and simply do it. It's a matter of performance. We can talk all we want, but you know, a leader doesn't just talk the talk. He walks the walk, doesn't he? You know, sooner or later, you know, I tell the people, I say, you know, when you're listening to people, make sure you make sure they get the fruit on the tree. Make sure they've got the track record. Make sure they if they're telling you to do something, make sure that they have some kind of a track record to follow. I did a talk when I remember at Leadership Weekend last fall, and I tried to tell people, I said, man, I said, I just hope to God that you people are smart enough to decide your future. You're smart enough to make sure that when you're listening to people, you're listening to people and when you're listening to people, make sure they're the right people to listen to. And you know, just because people are in this business doesn't always necessarily mean they're in this business. If you understand what I mean by that remark. There are people that are in the business, and there are people that are really into the business. There's a difference. You know that there is a very distinct difference between that. And there are people, just because they got a pin doesn't mean they're really into the business. And sometimes people achieve a certain level in the business because somebody else built it for them. Somebody else created the growth underneath them. Doesn't mean they're the right person. Doesn't mean they're the real, they're the shakers and the movers. I hope that when you're making sure you're listening to people, that you, and we talk about being plugged in, we talk about being tuned in, we talk about being plugged in and working together with the team, and make sure that you're listening to, make sure that the team, you're a part of a team that's moving on, that's doing things well. And sometimes people can give us the indication sometimes that they are plugged in when they're not. It's pretty easy to determine whether somebody's plugged in. Sometimes you just listen to their attitude. And sometimes their actions speak volumes. What one guy said a long time ago? Your actions speak so loud I can't hear a thing that you say. You know what I'm saying? What's their actions? Because their actions really do reflect their inner attitudes. And we hope that, and I'm not sure if this is what you wanted to hear for leadership, but this is what leadership is really about. Because when you come to grips with some of the basic fundamentals and the principles of a leader and the principles of leadership, because I think leaders are the key in our society. That's what makes everything tick. That's what makes everything go. That's what makes this business grow. People don't get to that level of respect by chance. It's by design. By the total commitment and dedication. Well, everything about leader reflects. I mean, your dress reflects who you are, reflects your attitude, it reflects a lot about you. I mean, it really does. All these little things come together to bring a picture of really what you want to become. Well, I tell people, I said, you know, when you start looking at attitude, we start talking about the business. You know, it's kind of funny. Once you assume and you step out like you're going to be a leader, you watch how many people start following you. Watch the change of the attitudes of the new people when you step up to the plate and you start developing those attitudes and those characteristics the right way. It becomes exciting. Watch the change. Watch the attitude. Watch the respect they start having for you. I want to get back to the three laws of leadership that you apply, and I hope you, when you build your business, do it. Number one, are you always positive in every case? Negative never goes down. You should never discuss negative with your people downline. Negative is something you never put into your group. If you have a problem, you have a challenge, if you have a negative feeling, or something's bugging you, you go upline. You never go downline. You always, when you're positive, you go down. When you're negative, you go up. That's just the way it works in our business. But that's the most important thing about our business. From the day one, you try and teach your people to be positive. You encourage them to read. Nothing will help a person develop a good positive framework, a good positive mindset, more than reading. reading is probably the most essential, the most important characteristic to help you develop a good mental framework and a good attitude and a good thinking process. And all the years I spent time with Dexter, and every time I'll go over to his house, I'll guarantee you he'll have two or three new books he's reading. He reads all the time. We don't ever get together. We go to a diamond meeting. We'll get down there with the five or six of the key diamonds. And for one, he'll walk in the room with two or three books he started to read. Man, you guys got to get a copy. This is a book you got to read. And he'll buy them. He'll take them and give them to the diamond because he knows how important it is for us to keep reading, to keep on that mental edge, to be on the edge all the time. You think about a man at his level, his capacity. He still thinks it's important to read. Do you get the message? There is nothing that will have a more profound effect to start changing your attitude and your outlook on life, to get you to start being cynical and negative, to get you to learn to be positive and optimistic than reading books. And I like somebody, well, I don't like books, I'll listen to tape. No, 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 books. Books. A tape does not take the place of a book. There's something about reading that you assimilate into your mind, into the psychology of your being that is much more profound than just simply listening to a tape. And I know you're probably like me. I didn't like to read. I didn't want to read. My wife would bring home books. I don't want to read. I don't want to hear that. Years ago. Thank God, though, sooner or later, I finally got into a few books and found out, I mean, this isn't that bad. Little by little. It's the books that started changing me first and foremost. Oh, I'll tell you the truth, the tape, Stranger's Treacher, hit me right between the eyes. But you know, it's a composite of a thing. Why do we try and make the system? We do, Dexter says, why we spend so much time encouraging people to get into the books, to get into tapes, to come around to functions like this. Because you know what, Dexter said, we need to do more than anything else is to do a thing that we can build the people, that we can elevate the people, that we can help people become better in every aspect of life. Because if we teach people to become better, they will become more successful. We don't understand that. Dexter says, the more I can build my people, the more I can build their attitude, I can build their confidence, I can build their image, I can build their skills, the more I know they can build the business. But without giving them those things, they don't really have a good chance to succeed. Because those are the things that will make the chance for them to succeed at this business, or anything, or in their family life, or anything else, or financially, give them a chance to really make it work. That's it. Well, going on my soapbox about what a leader should be. And I hope you heard it. Now let's talk about what you need to do in the performance level. You know, we talk about building this business and we talk about developing things. And I tell you what, you know what's important, I think, sometimes is when you start looking at the business, what do you teach your people? And you start going down and you're starting to work with your group. I think one of the most important things is that we learn to become good teachers. We learn to promote. Well, let me get back. I skipped over things. Number one, a leader, you always make sure that you're always positive around your people. Number two, remember one thing, you're always in edification. Edification is a matter of respect. One of the most important parts of leadership is developing a respect of what you're a part of, a respect for people, not just respect for people that are up from you, that are over you, but people that you work with, people that are in part of your organization. Respect is important because it goes two ways. I'm telling you, one of the most important things you better learn to do in this business is respect the people in your business. Respect them as individuals, respect them as human beings, and treat them with respect. Now, I hope to God you treat the people that are up on. I hope you treat the members of your team. I'll never get respect if I don't give respect. Because I tell you what, when I don't show respect to the people I work with, where are my people going to learn to show me the respect? Or show other people respect? You know, I tell people, as soon as I start putting people down, I'm showing my people how to put me down. That doesn't work that way. See, that's what it's all about, being an example. Respect. Edification is probably, you know what, I look around this business, and over the years I've been involved in different types of business, and especially since we're a people business. I tell you what, you take a look at the organizations that have the greatest growth, that seem to have it together, that seem to have that thing, they have an incredible respect for each other. There's an edification for the leadership, for the people, for the business, for the system, for their lines of sponsorship, whatever you want to call it, they have a respect there that makes it all come together. I think the organizations, the communities that show the greatest edification seem to always have the greatest and the fastest growth. It just works that way. And I hope to God that you don't do change anything without checking with your line of sponsorship or your team. Nothing is worse than when you start teaching conflicting techniques to your people, or you start doing things differently than your team or your organization is teaching. Because what you do, you start confusing your people. If you start teaching them one thing and your upline's teaching them something else, and then they come to a function, they heard something different on stage, your people sit there and the first thing they sit there and say, what am I supposed to do? They're confused. You know what you find out? When people are confused, they do nothing. Because they don't know what to do. The most important thing to do is that when we're all in unity, we're all in unison, we're all duplication correctly, when your people see us all doing it the same way, we all teach the same thing, there's no question in their mind what they should do. And every time they see me or they see some of the leaders, and we're all teaching the same thing, we're reinforcing to them the right thing they need to do. And it encourages them and increases their belief that they're doing the right thing. And if they keep doing the right thing, they'll get the right results. That's why it's important. That's why before you ever do anything, before you ever change anything, check with your line of thought. Because I'll tell you what, if you come up with a good idea and if it's good, we'll all do it. But sometimes you don't understand the big picture, and sometimes you don't want to change that because you don't realize the ramifications months down the road. You might find out that it's already been tried. We find out, man, that's not a real good idea. And I can give you a lot of examples over the years of things that people wanted to try, and when they found out, well, whoa, boy, I wish we wouldn't have done that. You know, one thing I found out a long time ago, experience is a great teacher. The experience of others is even a better teacher. I don't want to have to make all the mistakes myself. It's just going to delay me and slow me down and create a lot more work for me than I have to. The smartest thing I can do is learn from the mistakes of others and be smart enough to listen and listen to them. Why do I need to go out and make these mistakes? I don't. So those are the three laws. I hope before you ever do anything in your business, you always check, am I being positive? Do my people need to hear this? Is it uplifting? Is it going to be a sense of encouragement to help my people grow and become more successful? Then I shouldn't talk about it. Number two, is this edification? Is this showing respect? Is this uplifting the system, the line of sponsorship, the function? Whatever. Am I making it so my people want to participate more? Am I being positive? Am I being respectful? And number three, don't start changing things. Keep the system pure and simple. Well, I think a couple of things that are important. And I know what we want to do. Our system is a system of duplication. And we think it's a system of leverage. Leverage is a way, we use the illustration a lot of times when I show the plan, I use the illustration of McDonald's. It's a system of leverage, where they take a simple idea, a simple little business, and they copy it and duplicate, and they're leveraging. They're multiplying their ability. I understand that. That's a form of leverage, absolutely. And that's a profound concept in American business, or any business in the world that's spread across the world. Franchising, because of the ability it is to leverage and multiply itself and grow fast, it's phenomenal. We've done exactly the same thing within our system. That we take a simple business model and we do it online and we show people how to copy and duplicate that. But that's only one of the forces of duplication that we have in our system that allows us leverage. One of the greatest forces of leverage we have is the tool system that we use. The idea that I can have tapes and I can get hundreds of people listening to tapes at the same time, and that can multiply my ability to uplift, to motivate, to inspire, and to teach an organization that I possibly couldn't do by myself. You understand why that is so important? Not only is it a way to educate and inspire and help encourage the people, but it's also a way to leverage my ability to be more productive. If every time the only way I could reach my people, if I had to sit down every one of them face to face and do it myself, I couldn't possibly create a big business. The tools allow us the ability to duplicate. The tools allow us the ability to leverage ourselves to the point that we can create huge organizations far beyond what we could ever do by our simple ability as an individual. See, that's what people don't realize. That's why the system is so profound within our business. Without that system, without that pattern, it would never come to fruition. That's what makes all the difference. And so many times we don't understand how critical and how important that is. The leverage in our business is just simply not the circles. The leverage in our business is simply just not creating a community, because the community itself would only die after a certain point without us being able to keep the inspiration, to keep the motivation, to keep the education, to keep that spirit alive within the whole system. And what allows us to do that? The very system that we use. The books, the tapes, the functions, the open meetings. It's that type of thing that allows us to reach out and continue this process and continue to leverage far beyond where you're going to be. The more you use the system, the more you use the functions, the more you use the books and the tapes, the more you use the system, the more you learn how to utilize it, the more effective you are. You got to realize the best craftsmen in the world are the ones that know how to use the tools the best. Right? You can take a craftsman, you can give him all the right tools that he has. But if he doesn't know how to use these tools, he's still no better, is he? I can take a guy that wants to become a carpenter, and I can put a wood lathe in front of him, all these great tools. But if he doesn't know how to use them, he's still not going to be any better, is he? What good is he? God, I can sit down with a guy and give him a computer. But until he knows how to use that computer and how to function with it right, he hasn't improved himself, has he? He hasn't expanded his world at all. You got to realize, the more that you learn to impart the system, the more you learn how to utilize everything from the opens, how to get people to the opens, how to really maximize the ability for the opens to really help you create a better business. The more you learn how the functions and how to maximize the ability to make functions apart and how that's going to help you, the more you use how to move tapes, the more you learn how to inspire people to read books, the more that's going to do the work. Because the more you use the system, the more you utilize the system, the more the system can help you grow. It's a great tool. Until you understand that fact, you limit yourself. I understood right off the ability. My God, when I first started, I didn't know how to do the things that I do today. So I had to bring them around people that did. That's why I encouraged them to go to the workshops. That's why I encouraged them to go to the seminars. That's why I encouraged them to listen to that. They could motivate people. They could inspire people in a way that I couldn't. That was important. Well, I think one of the most important things to do is a couple of things. You're going to have to learn to do two things, I think, that are really, well, three things, I think, that are really profound to build this business. Number one, you're going to learn how to be a teacher. You've got to learn to teach. That's part of our business, is learning to teach what we do. And teaching is nothing more than just simply sharing what you know how to do, but sharing it in a way that is easy for people to understand. I tell people, I said, you know, one of the mistakes we make a lot of times, we get people into the business, but we don't take the time to really teach them how to do the business. And what probably one of the few things you're going to need to teach that's going to be important. Number one, you're going to have to teach them how to talk to people. What do I mean? Teach them how to contact. Some of you are wonderful at contact. You can contact the telephone post. That's good. But you know what? Dexter told me a long time ago, Tim, if you learn to do something well, you can make a lot of money. But if you can teach other people how to do something well, now you can make a fortune. You understand the difference? If you know how to do something well, you can make a lot of money. But when you can teach a lot of other people how to do it well, now you're unlimited how far you fought. Now you've learned to leverage yourself and be able to really do great things. Number one, you need to teach people how to contact people, how to call people, how to approach people, how to be able to call people up and set up appointments, how to get over the house, you need to teach them how to do that. And I tell you what, I think it's probably one of the most profound things you'll have to learn in this business. You have to learn how to talk to people. You have to learn how to approach people. That's why every one of you should make it a habit to get everything you can find, every book you can find that talks about developing a list, talks about how to contact people, talks about how to approach people, talks about how to get people to meetings. You need to become one of the foremost authorities on how to approach people and how to talk. That is, because I tell you what, until we get the plan in front of somebody, nothing happens. Am I right? If we can put this plan in front of enough people, it has to work. It's infallible. But the whole key is we've got to get this plan. We've got to get this business in front of people. If we can get people to sit down and look at this program, man, it's a given. We're going to hit home runs. We can build organizations. We can build communities that are incredible. But we've got to find a way to get it in front of people. We can put 100 people in, but if none of them talk to anybody, nobody gets in front of new people, we're all dead. It all just comes to a real screeching halt, boom, and we're over. So number one, we have to teach people how to be good at contacting, good at pro. Every one of you, when you show the plan to somebody and they want to get started, you ought to sit down with them and start teaching them right from square one how they can make telephone calls, how they can set up a meeting, how they can invite somebody to the house, how they can open the door and say, Bob, look, are you going to be home Thursday night? I got a friend I want you to meet. I got something I want to show you. You got to teach them simple way how to talk to people that'll open the door for them to get this program in front of new people. That's the whole name of the game. Without that, we don't go anywhere. So you need to, number one, learn how to be good yourself at it, but you also need to learn how to teach it. When you come to a seminar, you're not just here to learn for yourself. I try and tell this to people, you need to be watching when you have your people do seminars and local functions, and we always have different people speak different months. Why? We want you to learn from people. There are different techniques that every one of them will bring to you. It's not just important for you to learn what they teach. It's important you to learn how they teach what they teach, so you can teach it too. I don't want to just learn. I want to learn how to teach. Follow me, because that's going to be important. I need to know how to learn how to show the plan, but I want to learn how I can teach others to show the plan. Because I learn to show the plan, then I'm only limited myself. But once I can learn how to teach others to show the plan, now I've got things cooking. Because boy, then if I can leverage myself, if I can get 5 people and 10 people and 20 and 40 and 50 people out showing the plan, it's unlimited how far I can go in this business. You follow me? Now, my key to you is simply this. How many of you take the time to sit down with people on a regular basis and start showing them how to show the plan? I'm not just saying, oh, great, hey, you see me show the plan, go out and start showing the plan. No! I think it's important that before we start shoving people out the door, we make sure that we know when we're shoving them out the door, they're going to have success showing the plan. They're not going to be doing a terrible job. They're not going to be turning people off. They're going to be doing a plan that's somewhat recognizable, that somehow they can do a plan that you know they're going to have success. When they show the plan, they're doing a good job. They know how to relate this to people. You're showing the most important part about showing the plan is not showing the plan. The most important part about showing the plan is making a connection with people to what these people want in life. Because if you just run through the circles, you're not making the connection. I need to make a connection to something what they want. I got to find something that connects with them, whether it's freedom, whether it's getting their wife out of work, whether it's getting out of debt, whether it's just finding a way to get freedom, whether it's getting an early... I got to make a connection. I've got to relate what we have in this business to what they need and what they want in life. The more I can do that, the better chance I have of really making a connection. And when I make that connection, then I've got a chance of getting somebody that's going to be hot and they're going to go with this business. Not just a matter of drawing circles and running numbers. It's making that connection. And that's what's important. We sit down with people and say, Bob, let me give you some ideas. When you sit down with somebody, how you explain this program, how you start, how you get people involved, how you can start relating what we have to what they want. And the quicker you can make that connection, the quicker you can do that, the better chance you have. And then you make sure when they go through the program and they start showing how our program works, they do it in such a way that people can follow and understand it. I've seen people do the plan, and I didn't understand what they were showing. It was so terrible. And you let people go do that, and you wonder why they come back, and they're frustrated, and they haven't sponsored anybody. And next thing you know, they're gone. We got to make sure that we give them a fair chance of succeeding because we teach them how to do it right. That's like me trying to teach somebody to become a golfer. Now, Fred, what I want you to do, you hold the club like this and like this. That's how you hit a golf ball. You're going to say, Tim, a guy would never hit a golf ball holding a club like that. That's no kidding. That if I want him to hit a golf ball and never have a chance, I got to teach him how to hold the club right first, right? Same thing in building a business. If I want him to hit a home run, I got to teach him how to do it right. I want to make sure when my people go out and start showing the program, they know how to show a program that's somewhat good so they can have success. I don't want my people just running out showing anything. What scares me to death when I have a person that shows up at an open and they come up to me after the open and say, man, wow, now I understand. I didn't understand it at all. Now this is incredible. Oh, wow. They didn't show me anything like this. I said, my God, what'd they show you? So we want. I hope that every one of you will sit down with your key players and you make sure you know they're showing the program right. Before I send a person out, I want to see him show the plan. I'll have him do a meeting and I'll let him do the plan. I want to watch him. Because then I can encourage him. Then I can lift him up. I can show him. I said, Bob, let me give you a little bit of advice. Just maybe you do this way. Maybe you ought to explain it this way. But I want to make sure that when he does it, he can have success. It's not just, man, we think, oh, I got four people out showing the plan. Have you ever seen them? Nope. What? Don't you want them to have success? Maybe you ought to sit down with them and take a few minutes to make sure when these people show the plan, they know what they're doing. They're doing it correctly. The next thing you got to do, you got to make sure you get them around the function. Understand something. You don't build the business that opens. You add in the living room, but you multiply at the opens. Now, the opens is nice, but I tell you what, this business, it will always be built around a kitchen table. Most of us, we get most people started on a one-to-one. Guarantee you, most of the people we put into this business, I go do an open, or we'll have a bunch of new people there, but most of them have already seen the plan one time. They might have seen it at a kitchen table or a quick one-to-one somewhere, and somebody brings them to an open to help solidify it. All right? And occasionally, we'll have some new people, the first time they've seen it is at an open. But the majority of our business is still built one-to-one. We like it. When we start a brand new couple, I said, look, why don't we sit down, take out your list, let's tie in two or three couples, we can go over and show them the house, show them the plan. Or we can get two or three, or we can... We find out it just works better. When we simply sit down and we start shooting out to people, start dropping over people, start showing them a plan. Once we get them in. Now, if I sponsor Bob and Bob thinks he can get a couple of his friends over the house Tuesday night, sure, I'll go down to his house and get a couple of friends. Fine. And if we get over there and get one couple there, it's fine. But I'll tell you what, the next key is I make sure and I tell everybody the night when I show this plan, I'm going to tell them that it's important for them to set aside one night a month to go to a workshop. I tell them straight up. I said, I tell you, a lot of you are looking at this business. You say, man, okay, great, Tim. I like what I see. Okay, look. You ask, what do I do? What do I have to do to build this business? Number one, you have to set aside one day a month. We're going to have a workshop. We have a seminar in the local area, a few hours. It's going to be important for you to be there. You're going to learn all the cutting. You're going to learn all the techniques. We're going to try and have somebody successful come in and teach you how this business really works. And I'm going to be straight up. If you don't go to the workshops, and you're not going to be willing to take a few hours, one day a month, to learn how your business works, I think you're wasting your time to get involved with us. I tell them straight up, just like I tell them at a meeting. And I do it in a nice way, but I'll tell you what, this is not something for nothing. You're not going to go home and play with the computer and sit there and roll in the money. Just our business doesn't work that way. You're going to have to be willing to take one day a month to learn a few things about how to make this business. When you learn how to make it work, then you can go out and really apply it and have success. But if you're not willing to take the time to learn how to make your business a successful business and really learn it, you think you're going to take the time to make it build it. It doesn't work that way. And that's why it's important. Make sure you see the person that invited you here. Make sure they get you a ticket to the next local seminar. I hope they can still get you a ticket, but make sure you talk to them and get a ticket. And after the function, I want my people walking up to say, look, Bob, you know, hey, you're excited, good. And I want to see them taking tickets out of their wallet or out of their date book and start moving tickets right then and there. And people are excited. You'd be surprised how many tickets we move after I do a meeting. Because that's my goal. Because I know if I can get them at a workshop, I can get them around people like you, I can get them to sense the excitement. I realized years ago, one people asked me, everywhere I go, if I speak somewhere, somebody will ask me, Tim, what do you think the key is to building a big business? Getting your people at the seminars. I built my whole business based on that one premise. If I could get my people to come around the system, they would do it. You know, it's kind of hard. I learned years ago how to promote functions. I learned how to make it logical to people. I tell people it's a win-win system. hey, look, you need to come to the big function. You need to come to the extravaganza. Why? You need to see the big picture. You know, it's like trying to buy a house. And somebody shows you a clipping that they cook out of the paper, a picture of a little house, you know, you see in the paper, they show it, and you want to buy the house. You say, Tim, what are you, nuts? I can't decide if I want to buy a house by looking at this little picture. I'd like to go down and take a walk through, and we see where it is, see the neighborhood, to walk through the house. Oh, you want to see the big picture, you want to see the whole thing. Oh, I'm sorry. Isn't the same thing in the business? How can they make a decision if they want to build this and commit to this as a future, and they only see a little part of it? I want to, you know what? The bigger the function, the bigger the change it's going to make in the person, because it gives them to see a bigger picture. I tell a person, if you go to a big function and you decide you don't want to build a business, think of all the time you saved. Think of all the time you would have put into it, and then decide you didn't want to do it. What a waste. Wouldn't it be nice to know now? On the other hand, if you come to the function, you find out, man, this is just what I've been looking for. Now you run at it fast, and it helps you build the business 6 months quicker. And you go emerald 6 months earlier. If you make $100,000 at emerald, that means that made you $50,000 extra, didn't it? Because you did it 6 months quicker. That'd be a pretty good investment for going to one little weekend, wouldn't it? See what I'm saying? I convinced them. I said, look, you're not gonna build a business. You're not gonna convince other people that this business is great until you're convinced it's a great business. That's the most important thing you do. You need to find a way to get yourself convinced. That's why we encourage you to come. I think it's the best investment you can make by going to the big function. And I tell you what, it's important. It's important that we learn to sell what we have, that we're willing to convince people. This is important. And so many times we're so afraid that when we approach a person and we say, hey, look, Bob, look, we got the seminar coming up Saturday. You want a ticket? And the guy, well, no, I got something planned. Well, gee, too bad. No. Don't let them just blow it off like that. You go back to them and say, Bob, let me ask something. Is there any chance you can change it? It's really important. Because you said you really like to build this business. You think it's a good way to get out of debt. I tell you what, it's really important. Is there any way you can change? What have you got that's stopping you coming? Can you get somebody to work for you? Could you do that another day? Could you call up your friends and see if you can go out to dinner the next? Don't just take no. Don't be afraid to go back at him and say, Bob, look, this is really important for you to be at this workshop this weekend. Is there any way you could change it so you could be there? I can't tell you how many times a guy says, honey, you think we could change that? And I've got him. I know I've got him at that point. But a lot of times you say, well, no. So I've had a guy say, yeah, but I'd like to, but I got to work. I said, look, let me ask you something. Is there any way you can get somebody to work for you, cover for him? They cover for you this weekend, maybe you cover for them next weekend, something you change with somebody. Come on, if you were sick, don't tell me somebody wouldn't cover for you. Well, let me think. Let me see if I can. That's what I'm looking for. You don't believe it. How many times? I've had guys say no and they just couldn't make it. I call them up the next day. You know, Bob, I was thinking about that. I asked you about coming to the workshop this coming weekend, and you said no. Hey, look, I don't want to bug you. I don't want to push you. Man, it's really important. Is there any way you could change it? And I can't tell how many times they'll change and they'll come. Oh, I'll say, hey, look, why? He said, well, you know, I'll be honest with you. I got to work in the afternoon. I said, great. I'll see you at 7 o'clock then. Well, we haven't eaten. It's at 4 and 7. You can't make the afternoon. You should make the evening, right? Oh, okay. I'd rather get half than none. You follow what I'm saying? Don't just assume because they say no that no is no. No is I don't think so unless you show me how. Follow what I'm saying? That's important. It's little things that you do like that that'll make a difference. You don't understand. One couple, you know what I find out a long time ago? If couples don't go to seminars, sooner or later they just drop out. I suddenly miss a couple seminars, you know what you call them? No, I don't think we're going to do this. I know I've got one chance probably to get them moving. And that's at the beginning when they're excited and they get that initial excitement. That's the best chance I have of giving that couple growing. And my best chance is to get them at the function. The quicker I can get them in the system, the quicker I can pull them in. Because see, everything else is fighting for their time. And you know, I it's a battle whether something else takes their attention or whether we keep their attention. Which way do you want it? The more I can bring them around us and I can keep their attention on the business and keep their attention and excitement with us, the better chance I have of getting them build the business. But if somebody else pulls them away and they pull their attention in another direction, I lose them. That's the way it works. It's just a matter of who fights and who gains their attention. You know, like the old slogan goes, out of sight, out of mind. I can't afford to lose them. That's why I learned to be real good at talking to people, convincing people how important it was for them to come to the workshop. Nothing is more important than that, because I realized by building my numbers, if I could build them, I could pull them in, I could get them excited. Then when they went home, I got them there, they got excited about the business, and they're going to go home, and chances are they're going to help me get the other people excited about the business. That's going to be an important task. Well, you know what? Leadership is something that's fun and exciting. I tell people, well, once you step up to the plate and you really get involved in this, and I tell you, sometimes we miss it because we don't get involved. I tell people, look, we try and talk about the attitudes and principles of leadership because it really is. I think the impact you can have on people's lives in this business, man, wow, what an impact you can have. I think once, if you could ever begin to understand what an impact you can have, you'd understand how exciting this business can be. Nothing is more exciting than this business. When you get involved, you truly get involved, you truly decide you really want to participate. We decided years ago to set everything aside, man. This is going to be our future, then this is going to be our priority. And I ask people all the time, I said, what is your priority in life? Once you decide that, then the rest of it's easy. But it seems like we go through life never realizing what our priorities are. It seems like we kind of just muddle on and we miss it. I'm telling you, this business, the rewards of this business system, is so far out distance what you can imagine. And I'll tell you, I think it's the best deal on planet Earth is this business. And you know what? You step up to the plate, and I know sometimes it sounds like, wow. But I tell you what, you want a business that someday you'll sit back and say, wow, can't believe we got all this. I tell people, you know, I show the plan is when you look at this business to really look at the income, don't look at this as a short-term deal. When you look, I tell people when I show the plan, you got to really look at hitting the home run. You really want to get to the point you can make six digits. You want to get to the point someday you can have your freedom. You can travel. You can have a great life. Look at program 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road. We're not talking about a get rich quick. We're not talking about a quick fix. We're talking about something that can happen relatively quick. But think of that. If you could solve the financial problems of your life, if you could solve and find a way to become financially self-sufficient in your life in the next 3 or 4 years, that you can get up in the morning and hey, man, hey, let's have coffee. Hey, Bob, honey, I'm going to go over and talk to Bob about the business. He wanted me to come by and go over a few things in the business. I'm going to be over there this afternoon. Oh, by the way, tonight, Bob and Jane next door, they said they want to come by and see what we're doing, and they'll be over. And that's what you do for a living. That you can travel and go places and do things. Man, what a great way to live. It's a great business. Nothing like this thing. But yet, if you stand up to it, you take on the challenge of leadership, and you realize just follow the business. It's so simple. It's not a tough business to build. The toughest part of the business, when Dexter says the hardest part of the business to overcome is about 6 to 8 inches, right here. It's the way we think. It's the difference between our two ears. Once we can conquer that territory, once we can conquer our attitude, we can really, really control the way we think. The rest of it is a piece of cake. The hardest part is right here. It's controlling sometimes the skepticism, sometimes the negative, sometimes the doubt, sometimes the fear that comes right here. But once we get beyond that point, life can be a really thrilling adventure. And I believe what Helen Keller says, man, life is either an exciting, thrilling adventure or seems to be nothing at all. We don't want your life to be nothing at all. We know it can be thrilling and exciting. And you people step up to the leader. You guys got such great teams to work with, every one of you. So, I mean, you all have got wonderful teams, great people, professional people that are there to work with you and stand by you and help you every step of the way. You know, the only mistake you can make is not jumping on it. It's not, hey, look, you know what, the reason it won't work is because you're not willing to work at it. You know what, let's face it, you've got great teams. You know they can build a great business. They've already done it. Why not just tag on to them? Say, man, look, we want to run. You know, everybody in this business looks for somebody like you that'll come up to them someday and say, look, I know what I want. This is what I want to do. I'm willing to commit to it. I'm looking for somebody that'll help me and lead me. Will you do that? Everybody's looking for that. That's what we're all looking for. We're looking for these people that want to step up to the plate. I want to be that guy. Are you one of them?
Your choice.
Talk to you this afternoon.